In the parsha of B'shalach, we are told, Vayikach Moshe Ratzmot Yosef Imo, Ki Ashpeya Hishpia Et Bnei Israel. And Moshe took Yosef's remains with him, for he had made the children of Israel take an oath that they would do so when they left Eretz Mitzrayim in order to bury his bones in the land of Israel. So Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, had the foresight to occupy himself with mitzvahs while everyone else was engaged with getting material things. Now it's true that God also commanded the Jewish people to go and to get those things, to ask from their neighbors for their gold and their silver. But nonetheless, their mitzvahs. And Moshe Rabbeinu, recognizing the greatest value of Torah as being the most powerful element that one could engage in, went to do this higher level mitzvah in order to take care to transfer the bones of Yosef to Eretz Yisrael. This theme of engaging in Torah and mitzvahs and not just acquiring wealth, even though in the particular cases we said it was a mitzvah to acquire the wealth, is also put forth in the Shira in a very interesting way. We know it says in the Shira, as we read every day, Sus v'rochavo rama v'yam, that a horse and its rider, the horse and the chariot, went down into the sea, were thrown into the sea. And Rashi indicates that Shnehem Keshurim Zebazeh, V'amayim Alimotam Lerom Umaridotam Laomek Ve'einam Nifradim. An amazing thought that the two, the chariot driver and the chariot, were tied to each other. The waters lifted them up, and it threw them down into the depths, but they did not separate. What is this idea, which some may call even miraculous, because you would have thought for sure that the rider and the chariot would separate through the great power of the waters that came in Kriyas Yamsuf? What is the idea taking place, being portrayed in this Rashi? And it's stated by Rav Yechezkel Sarna that it's possible to understand that the rider and his horse and his chariot, as the rider was going down, obviously he must have known that he was between life and death, between one world and the next. And one might have thought that at this crucial time, such a person, even Dmitri, would have engaged in what we call hirhorei tshuva, in repenting, in recognizing that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the king of the world and that he was in error. Is that not what we do when a person's on his deathbed? Even if a person is what we call brain dead or not responding to any stimuli, still we say a vidui with that person in hoping that even in terms of his thoughts, that there's a possibility that he may hear what's being said and repent at this last moment of life. And here we have that exact situation, says Rasarna, and yet, despite the fact that they were about to die, they would not give in and give up on what their major concern was in life, namely to hold on to their wealth, to hold on to their silver and gold, symbolized by the wondrous horse drawing that incredible chariot that they were riding in. The two were attached to each other. The chariot driver held on for all his life to be connected with this symbolic element of what his life really was all about, namely achieving whatever wealth he could and acquiring whatever resources were possible. Indeed, my chaver and one of my congregants, Shmuel Plotzker, suggested that this makes perfect sense in the context of Egyptian society, because we know that their belief was, as is indicated in the burial of the Paros, that the kings of Egypt and all those who would go on to their other world would be buried with their wealth He was just not left behind for others to use. It was symbolic of what they acquired in this world and the fact that they could take it with them as they went to the next world. As we have been saying, obviously, the Jewish perspective is exactly the opposite. The Jewish perspective is not the silver and the gold, but as Moshe Rabbeinu did, going for Atzmaut Yosef, the most pure mitzvah properly, it's that that one will be able to take with him and not the silver and the gold. With this idea of the power of Torah, thereby being the most valuable notion that we have in Jewish tradition, with this we can explain as well, in fact, why something else happened as it did numerous times throughout our tradition, but why it is emphasized, therefore, so much in this particular parsha. I am speaking of Kriyat Yamsuf, which we know was the greatest, most stupendous miracle to ever happen in the history of the world. And yet, one can ask the question, and the Or HaChaim comments upon this, that we know that in fact there were other situations where there was a splitting of the sea or a splitting of the waters. For example, these come to mind. When the Jewish people crossed the Yarden to go into Eretz Yisrael, we know that the Yarden split so that the Aron HaKodesh could go through to the other side. We know that Eliyahu and Elisha in Tanakh were walking and they encountered a river and they split the river and they walked through the river. Even in terms of the Gemara and the Chachamim, we know the Gemara says in Chulin Dav Zayin Amud Aleph that Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair Havikaazil Lefidion Shavuim, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair was going to redeem captives. Pagave Beginai Nahara, he came upon the river Ganai. Amarle Ginai Chalukli Mimecha Vavorbecha. So he said to the Ganai River, he said, split so I can go through you to do my job. Amar le atalech lasod ritzon konech vani alech lasod ritzon koni. He said, listen, you're going to do God's will, but I'm also doing God's will by flowing as a river. Ata safek ose safek iata ose. You might be successful in redeeming the captives, you may not be. Ani vadai ose. I certainly will be successful. I've been doing this continuously and I will continue to do so. Amar le imata cholek Gozrani alecha sheloya rubecha maim lolam. So Pinchas ben Yair said that if you do not split for me, that I will make sure that no waters ever run through you ever again. Chalakle, and then it split for him. So it's also, by the way, shown there that after he crossed the river, as I recall, that someone else who was with him, behind him, asked if he could split it again for that individual, and he did. And then behind him there was an Arab who was selling merchandise, and he yelled out that he also needed the river split, so the river split for him as well. Amazingly, there shouldn't be a Chil Hashem that he only split it for a Jew, and he wouldn't split it for a non-Jew who had also need to get across. So the river was split again for this Arab, for this individual. So one can ask, what is the great miracle, therefore, of the splitting of the sea? When it happened when the Jews needed to get across the Yarden, when it happened when Elisha and Eliyahu needed to cross the river, when it happened when Pinchas ben Yair had made it across already for the mitzvah Binyan Shavuim, which you know is the greatest of mitzvot, but then how he turned around and he made it split again, and yet once more, just for individuals who happened to be behind him. So what is the great wonder of Kriyas Yamsuf that we give it the significance that we do? And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains that we know there's a Medrash that says that when it was Yom HaShishi, the sixth day of creation, that God made a Tanai with creation, that when the Torah would be given, that the elements of nature and the world would conform to the Torah. And that's why the Torah was given on also Yom HaShishi, that day, that sixth day of Sivan, when Klal Yisrael would receive it. And so the river did not want to split because actually it was part of nature that was set up to continue for all time. But as Rav Pinchas ben Yair was an individual who represented Torah, and Torah could overcome nature as a result of that Tanai, so that's why it would have to then split for Rav Pinchas ben Yair. We see from this that the great miracle that took place with Kriyas Yamsuf is that it happened before the Jews received the Torah. That's why it's considered to be such an incredible nace. After the Jews received the Torah already, so then even a tzaddik like Rav Pinchas ben Yair had the ability to do such wondrous feats, at least when it was in a proper context and when it was needed in order to split the waters. But before the Torah was given, once you have the Koach HaTorah, anything is possible. But before the Torah was given, that such a wondrous event could take place. This is the greatness that came about as a result of Kriyas Yamsuf in Parshas Beshalach before the Jewish people had received the Torah. Now that the Torah has indeed been given, we should recognize all the power that it has to accomplish in our lives, in making ourselves into a Tzelem Elokim, in establishing a community which is based on Torah, and ultimately in being able to spread this Torah Kedosha throughout the Jewish people and ultimately throughout mankind in order to bring the Geula Hashlema Bimheira Biyameinu.